Welcome to Become with IMTA.
I love that.
So after retiring as Senior VP and Chief IP Strategist at Qualcomm, our guest today decided to use his experience in tech to take on a new adventure, and he founded Models Against Trafficking, a cultural movement engaging the power of influencers and online role models to educate and empower teens, steering them away from predators. Welcome to the podcast, Roger Martin.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
It's nice to have you with us, Roger. You made quite a shift in careers from going to the tech world to working with a cultural movement that has become so highly publicized. What was your intention or vision for founding Models Against Trafficking? And can you tell us about the cause?
Yes. So Models Against Trafficking was a response to a problem that I discovered that people told me about. They told me that in the United States, there's about 100,000 kids being trafficked for sex every day. And that most of those kids, more than half of them, first met their traffickers online, and the number one place for them to meet was Instagram. When I heard about that, I thought, I imagined there's must be a predator who's scrolling through Instagram on his or her phone, and he's looking for who to approach. And if he's not, you know, going to approach everyone, he's looking for certain signs of vulnerability. He's looking for somebody who might be trying very hard to be a model. He's looking for somebody who's looking for a lot of likes and attention, trying to build their following and become an influencer. And so I realized if I could do that, if I could create some software that found those kids before the predator did, then perhaps we could do some outreach to them. So we created that software, and then Models Against Trafficking is the outreach that's a resultant of trying to solve that problem. And basically it's a bunch of influencers on Instagram who are models who are using their experience and their platform to try to advocate against sex trafficking and also educate the younger models that are up and coming who haven't yet really been signed or made it. Maybe they've been signed, but they're not necessarily as sophisticated as the others.
Oh, that's a great thing you're doing. I'm reading the updated stats, and wow, it's really scary. The numbers you have here about who's being affected and how, I mean, can you tell us a little bit, go through the statistics?
Right, so at the largest, at the broadest sense, human trafficking is a worldwide thing. It's a $150 billion industry worldwide. But in the United States, as I said, more than 100,000 of those people that are being trafficked are children. And the National Human Trafficking Hotline tracks how many calls they receive on a day, and it's more than 100 per day. And I used to think that maybe this was kids who were being, smuggled across the border, but in reality, 80% of those sex trafficking victims were born in the United States. They're kids from our neighborhoods, from everybody's neighborhoods, and from all walks of life. And the average age of recruitment of those kids is about 14 years old.
I can't believe that. Predators, I mean, they're not even able to drive yet, let alone understand the severity of...
Right. And so if you imagine the predator is a lot more sophisticated, he's been doing this for a long time. He knows how to manipulate kids. And a 14-year-old, a 14-year-old who's really trying to, let's say, make it in the modeling industry, being very public about their Instagram, doing very sexy photos, perhaps bikini photos and so forth, trying to get attention, that becomes a very attractive target for these predators.
Yeah. So you made an important point about being online, and I want to dive into social media because I feel like that's such the double-edged sword here. You have social media that's enabling the rise in trafficking, and then you have it, to use as a platform to actually educate followers on how traffickers prey on models. And it's really an important way to spread the messaging and warning to them. But what is your take on this digital era and its role in the movement and, the negatives to that as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. With any sort of new technology, it can be used for good and it can be used for evil, right? It can be used, to hurt people. But the reality is it's not going anywhere, right? And the reality is that you know, kids are going to be on it. They're going to use it, you know, whatever the newest social media is, they're going to be there. And so we, in the face of that reality, it occurred to us that if that kid is spending most of their time on their device, right, on their phone, mm-hmm. on various social media, that's where we have to reach them. If we want to get through to them, it's not necessarily going to be in the schools, although, you know, in the schools is a great place to teach this stuff. It's got to be, you know, on an app, you know, in their pocket at all times. It's got to be something they're checking. They're checking Instagram all the time anyway. And so we need to reach them through that, that same channel. And so that, that is, that's using social media for the good, right? Rather than and recognizing that, you know, as much as we want to, you know, lament the fact that it's out of control in some ways, you know, we, the best offense against it is to use it for good.
Have you done much outreach with schools, you know, to see what kind of, you know, programming they can implement to bring awareness to it?
Yeah, another great idea. I'm on a board of an organization that is called Three Strands Global. It's not the Models Against Trafficking, it's a different organization. And they have actually developed in-school curricula that has been approved by in California, in Utah, and in Texas, and they're trying to get it approved in other states as well. And it's rolling out. COVID has slowed the rollout down a little bit because kids are not going back to school, and so that that has slowed it down. But that's a temporary thing, and I'm sure it will be. And so they have education materials for that are age appropriate for 5th, 7th, 9th, and 11th graders. That get into a little bit of detail on, you know, for the fifth graders, it's about personal boundaries and how to determine whether to trust your, you know, your adults or your teachers. And then for 11th grade, you know, it's a lot more advanced and, you know, a lot more, you know, direct.
Yeah. Can you tell us more about like how traffickers are recruiting victims online and like the warning signs?
So that was my question too, Sarah. I mean, are these people open, I mean, anybody can see what they're posting, these young kids? Public.
Right, so Instagram has two ways that you can use it. You can use it as a public account or a private account. And if the kid is trying to become Insta famous, if they're trying to become a model or get discovered, you know, maybe they wanna be an actor, they're gonna have a public account because obviously the private account won't allow people to discover them. And that's, you know, that's what predators rely upon. And they'll search through the public accounts, usually using hashtags, but they'll use a hashtag, let's say like hashtag teen model. If you're, if a young kid is posting something with hashtag teen model, that's a place that a predator knows he can find something. And they the recruitment begins with just commenting on the potential victim's photos and sending them direct messages. So they might say something like, "Hey, you're beautiful. You've got just the look we're looking for. I'm a photographer or a modeling agent. I'm a casting agent. I can make your dreams come true. Let's meet, you know, in person for a photo shoot." And, you know, or they might claim to be a, you know, the owner of a modeling agency or some other, you know, business.
Yeah, I mean, we fall victim to that all the time because they will go on to Facebook and say that they're a recruiter for IMTA, and next thing you know, we have, you know, all this outreach about, is this person legit?
Right, and that's a really important thing that you bring up there, that there are going to be, whether we want it or not, there's going to be these approaches that these kids can't necessarily figure out. When one of the things that Models Against Trafficking does is it gives the kids, you know, the advice like always verify whether an agent or photographer is actually working for an agency by contacting that agency, you know, separately online, let's say, before meeting them, and never meet a new photographer or agent alone. You know, always bring a friend with you, or tell a friend. You know, tell your parents where you're going to be. And then, of course, if they do meet, if they do believe that this person is a legitimate, you know, photographer or modeling agent, even those that have some established business can often be predatorial as well, and ask the kid to pose for, you know, photos that are very risky and make them feel uncomfortable, and the photographer
inappropriate.
Yeah, inappropriate. And the photographer will say, well, if you want to make it, this is, you know, this is what you need to do. And everyone does it. And don't, you know, don't feel bad about it. And that, that unfortunately happens even, you know, even with more established photographers.
Yeah. You were going back to your hashtags, because I know that you, with Models Against Trafficking, have specific hashtags in place to help, you know, the warning and the, you know, spreading the message through clients and connections. Will you give us a few of those, or list out a few of those for our listeners?
Obviously, you know, the name of the movement, Models Against Trafficking, hashtag Models Against Trafficking, is one that we always use. But there's a couple that we think are, that are, you know, kind of catchy and applicable to the fashion or modeling industry. And for example, you know, buy fashion, not people. Buy shoes, not people. That's kind of fashion related. And then on the modeling side, you know, safe model, like hashtag safe model, or hashtag I am a safe model. To get these kids who, you know, we're never going to actually convince the kid, no, you don't, you shouldn't be, you know, have a public account. We're never going to be able to convince them that you know, what they're doing, you know, is dangerous. What you can do is you can convince them to try to do it in the safest possible way. And so these hashtags like safe model tend to remind the kid that, you know, that there is a way to make it in the business without being exploited, without being victimized.
Great. That's true. That's true. And at our conventions, our IMTA conventions, we're constantly telling the directors and the contestants, the models and actors, children, all these things that you've mentioned. No, never go to a photo shoot alone. You have to have a parent there or your director there. Just all that is really important. And how can we, like, get the message out even more on our end?
Yeah, in the unique position that IMTA is in is you're sort of an interface between all, you know, the agents and the agencies, right, and the new talent that's coming up. And it's the new talent that's coming up that those are the people that are most at risk. Once they're signed with an agency and the agency sort of really manages their bookings and managing, you know, their photo shoots, they can have a little bit more reliance that, you know, that somebody's looking out for them. But the ones that are up and coming, this new talent that you're finding, those are the ones who, you know, they're willing to take some risk. They know it's hard to break in. They know it's hard to get the attention that they need, and they're willing to take some risk. And so IMTA is in a perfect position, and you've been doing it extraordinarily well. You partnered with Models Against Trafficking since the very, very beginning. We did, in fact, our launch at your IMTA LA event. And yes, those, you know, the events and the, you know, pushing out on emails and, you know, other awareness that IMTA is doing, and especially with your member agencies as well.
Right.
Right. The member agencies of IMTA, each one of those has, you know, a group of kids that they're interacting with on a daily basis that they could be doing some live, you know, interaction and training and education with them as well. And they could be pushing it out on their Instagrams as well. So one of the nice things about Models Against Trafficking is it's not just our Instagram feed where people can get information. Our influencers and our models also push out that information on their Instagram feeds as well. And so there's sort of this built-in network that's all spreading the same basic information. And even though it's basic, it needs to be heard probably 3 or 4 times by, you know, a kid before they really internalize it.
Well, I'm, you know, Sarah and I are going to put out a blast to our members and to our followers and maybe raise the attention for Models Against Trafficking even higher. We'll do our best to do that.
Yeah, and I appreciate your support. You've always, as I said, you've been there since the very beginning. It was your support and your introductions and your invitation to an IMTLA that really allowed us to get the foothold that we do and meet the influencers that we have and really affect the kids. You know, the interesting thing about prevention is you can never measure how much and how well it's working, because you never know whether the kid that you told the information to, right, would have gotten victimized. But you know, the things that you've done for us, we've reached thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of kids now just through our Instagram alone and you know, through IMTA's help alone. And so you got to expect that at least some of those kids made a huge
difference. Well, that's great to hear. I mean, I'm so pleased.
I'm curious about the app. Can you talk to us a little bit about, I don't want to mispronounce it. Is it Radley?
It's called Radley, and it's spelled R-A-D-L-E-E. But the idea is that the software that we developed for determining whether or not a kid might be vulnerable, it was packaged into an iPhone app, an Apple app that's available in the App Store right now called Radley, R-A-D-L-E-E. You can also get it, our website at getradley.com, that's G-E-T-R-A-D-L-E-E.com.
Great.
And what it does is it allows you, if you're just a kid, you can enter your own public Instagram profile handle, and it will look back on your last 3 months of posts, and it'll sort of score everything for you. It'll let you know whether anything that you did or said was attractive to a predator, and better yet, it'll tell you in your public comments whether you were approached by a suspected predator as well. That is, it'll let you know that a particular comment came from someone who might be a suspected predator. And it uses artificial intelligence to do that, and it can do that on very wide scale. And if I can sort of describe it, it both characterizes vulnerability and predatory activity.
Great.
But what we've noticed using this technology, and we've scraped about 3 million profiles on Instagram now, is that...
That's quite a few. I mean, to be able to have that, you know, technology and the analytics to do that, I mean, that could reach so many people.
Yeah, it has. And we've discovered not quite 200 hashtags that seem to have the most predatory attention. And of those, the kids, if a kid is posting a racy photo, that is, let's say, a bikini photo or a very sexy photo, something that's very suggestive, that gets a lot more attention. And about 15% of those that have already or that have posted those kinds of things that are attractive have already received some comment from somebody who is suspicious. It's not clear whether the kid responded to it or followed up on it, but the predators are out there and they're not shy, because the worst thing that could happen is that they get kicked off Instagram, and then they can just come right, you know, they can come right back on. They can
right back on. That's what we find with, you know, I was mentioning earlier that we are such a target for, you know, random people saying they work for us and trying to get photos of girls and things like that. And so, you know, they will turn them in and we'll, you know, ding them or flag them as being problematic. And then next thing you know, they're right back on with a whole nother screen name. And
right. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to describe some of the things. I have an account for Radley, and on that account, I have my own daughter who's now 22, but she spent a lot of time on Instagram from the time that she was about 16, trying to become a signed model. And even today at 22, she'll post some pictures every now and then, and she'll get a lot of predatory attention. And just 2 weeks ago, September 20th, she posted a photo, and she got a response from someone that said, and I'm going to read it to you so that you can, and exactly the language they use. He said, "Hello there, I'm Mark, a local photographer redoing my portfolio and website. I was wondering if you would be open to doing a photo shoot." So this is exactly what I'm you know, talking about. And it says, right, "Sent you a DM," and it's got an emoji with stars in his eyes. And so if you look at this, if a kid sees this, they might for the first time think, oh, I'm you know, I'm being discovered, or this is my opportunity. Right. But if you look at it, if you think about it a little bit more, a legitimate photographer probably isn't hunting for you on Instagram first. It's probably going to come through an agency. Second, this one's already apologizing in advance for the fact that he doesn't have a portfolio or website to show you to prove that he's even a real photographer. He's like, you know, I need you to help me rebuild my portfolio. And if you were to go to that guy's profile on Instagram, he doesn't have a lot of photos, that he hasn't posted a lot of photos. He doesn't have a lot of followers, but he's following, you know, like 6,000 people.
Yeah.
That's... So, So he's out. So he's out there fishing. And then I have a friend of mine. She has a daughter who's 15. So my daughter's 22. This girl is 15. She went on vacation this summer to the river, and she and her friends posed for a couple of bikini photos because it's hot outside and they're in the river. She posted those on Instagram, like lots and lots of kids do. It immediately attracted a comment from a young man who says, amazing smile. If you like makeup from Sephora and or cute stuff from Victoria's Secret, send me a DM. And you ask yourself, well, that's a little bit suspicious, but what's really wrong with it? Well, the fact that he's asking her if she wants to buy Victoria's Secret lingerie from him when she's 15, right? So, it's kind of obvious that no grown man should be trying to sell a 15-year-old lingerie. But if you think about it, as from a predator standpoint, if she responds to that, he knows he's got a pretty good chance of manipulating her because she's probably trying to become sexually active or may already be sexually active and trying to hide it from her parents and wants to get some, you know, some lingerie in secret instead of going to the store. And again, if you go to his account, he's got, you know, 9 posts, 8 followers, but he's following about 1,000 people. And these are real life things of people that I know, like say my daughter and my friend's daughter, that just in the last, you know, month or two have had, very clear predatorial approaches. And the software Radley, the app, R-A-D-L-E-E, found it. And if you're a parent, of course, if there's any parents listening, you can do this for your child's accounts too, which prevents you from having to look through 1,000, you know, photos and 1,000 comments and 1,000 followers to try to figure out, whether there's a predator there. And it, you might not even know it if you saw it, but Radley does. Radley knows using AI how to characterize these things. And it gives you some peace of mind that, you know, there's something in the background always kind of watching to make sure that your kid is okay.
Now, what's your opinion on, you know, this younger generation that's, you know, parents might be allowing them to create Instagram, you know, at 10 to 15 years old? I've heard that it's beneficial for a parent monitoring that to, you know, put that in their profile saying, you know, monitored by mom or monitored by parents to help detract, you know, those predators as well.
Yeah, it tends to deter. If a parent puts in the bio, mom monitored account or account monitored by parents, it tends to deter a lot of predatory, not all of them. I've seen predators that just take a shot anyway, because the reality is, unless you're actually following up as a parent on that,
right?
Some predators are going to say, well, you know, the likelihood that you're following up on everything or that you would recognize me as a predator might be pretty low. And so lots of parents have asked me, what's the right age for me to have, you know, my kid on social media? And I would say, well, and it's whatever age you think that you can, you know, monitor everything that they're doing and keep a close eye on what they're doing. A little bit of it depends on the sophistication of the child. It's an opportunity for you to talk to your child about online behavior, because whether it's social media, it might be a gaming site, it might be, you know, some other email or text that they're getting from somebody who pretends to be their friend. So there's all kinds of other, you know, dangers even for online. It's an opportunity for you to talk to them. But if you're not able to stay on top of it, what you're really doing is kind of throwing your kid out into the wolves, right? Where if they have a public account, anyone and everyone in the world can see it.
Roger, I wanted to ask a question. Do you see a decrease during this COVID time because parents are home with their kids more, or an increase?
It's actually an increase, and a significant increase. So the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which I referred to before, they've said we've had more than a doubling of reported calls. And that's because kids are spending more time at home, but it's not supervised time necessarily, because it used to be, you know, if they were in school, their teacher doesn't let them bring their phone out during class time. When they're at home, it's always there and always available. And so, and then the second thing is there are policing activities that occur on Instagram and, you know, where they're looking for predators. The problem is during COVID, they've really had to reduce that staff because they would, you know, they can't come into work, right? It's harder to remotely cause that policing to happen. And so a lot of the customer service type things that normally would happen at Instagram have been backed up or slowed down because of this. And so if anything, predators are less likely to be caught right now during COVID, and kids are more likely to be spending more time online.
So one of the statistics, it was saying that this is a, and I might get the number wrong, so correct me, that it's $150 billion industry.
Right.
What is that money going, like how are they measuring that monetary value?
So those are some estimates based on how much of this thing we're having. In San Diego, where I'm from, there was a really complete study done in 2016 on this underground economy. It's basically a cash economy. That is, if you're a predator and you have, you're trafficking children, if you're, you know, selling children is what it comes down to. Each one of those kids is making about $100 per sex act and about $1,000 per day. And so they were able to multiply all that out times the number of kids that they knew to be trafficked based on, you know, hotline statistical reporting and so forth. And they come up and in San Diego alone, it was $810 million. So almost $1 billion in San Diego alone. San Diego is a pretty big city, maybe one of the top 10 or 15 in the United States. So you know, it's gonna be bigger than, let's say, New York, right? Just more people. And so you add it up pretty quickly and it gets to $150 billion. Plus there's, you know, in Asia and Latin America and Europe and so forth, it adds up very, very quickly. And that money, you know, it represents basically the sale of children.
Wow, that's just insane that there's that much money out there and
it's truly awful. Yeah.
So I know you mentioned it a little bit earlier. Nancy had asked, you know, how our listeners can help support the cause. What will you just reiterate what we can do to join the movement?
Yes. So you can go to Instagram and go to the Models Against Trafficking, you know, username, right? Our account on Instagram. And it's got all the information there. In the bio, there's a link to our website called modelsagainsttrafficking.org. The website has, you know, because it's a website instead of just an Instagram account, it's got all kinds of, you know, static information with all the facts that we've been discussing. It's got a whole bunch of information on how people can get involved and push out this information on their own Instagram feeds. For example, a lot of people listening to this might say, oh my God, I need to do something about this, but what, you know, what could I do? If you go to our Instagram page, and click on the website, it tells you step by step. First, you know, do this. Second, use this hashtag. Third, post photos that look like this. You know, fourth, post these kind of facts. Fifth, you know, tag us.
Yeah, and you have promotional graphics available for people's use as well, correct?
Absolutely, and they can always steal, if you will, like they reshare all the graphics.
Content.
Yeah, so our account, really, the purpose of our account is to be a constant source of graphics that people can share on their own accounts. You know, it's educational for the people that are our followers, but we want it to be educational for our followers' followers.
Great.
Good.
Well, this has been so informative, and we just appreciate your time and really spreading this message, especially now when it's become such a highly publicized, you know, cause and all of that.
And we will do our best to share it with as many people as we can.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I do appreciate your continued support. Like I said, the IMTALA event that we launched at was a tremendous success. You know, we reached hundreds of kids who signed up on that day, right? We were there 2 days.
Right.
Hundreds of kids signed up that day. And it's just grown from there. And we look forward to repeating that next year.
Great. Well, we always end our podcast interviews with a random question. So I'm going to throw it at you.
Yeah.
What is the song that would best describe the soundtrack to your life? I know, I threw it at you. So
I don't know if I don't know if there's one song. Hold on, my wife had a
always listen to your wife.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite bands for a long time is a local San Diego band who made it big called Switchfoot. And they write all kinds of really great, positive, uplifting, inspirational kinds of music. And so I would assume that one of those, if not one of those Switchfoot songs, then a Switchfoot album or their anthology has been probably the soundtrack to my life because for, you know, 15 years, it's been, my number one playlist.
That's so great. I'll have to listen.
Great band. Great band. Yeah,
good.
Well, thank you again. Thank you. We appreciate it. And we will be talking to you very soon.
Yeah. Thanks, all right. Thanks,
Roger. Very much, Sarah, Nancy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
This has been a podcast of a lifetime, produced by Artist Movement and IMTA.